All right, so makom pito, the issue of defining residency in a particular chatzer, or a particular house, really, on chatzer. Basically, we need when we deal with eruv chatzeros, we need to define where a person is considered to live. And the truth of the matter is, it's not just eruv chatzeros, but it's a whole range of eruv-related things beyond eruv chatzeros. In many areas, both lakula and lachomra, meaning we need to know where you live. We need it as far as eruv chatzeros is concerned to say which chatzer, which yard, is actually the place of your residence, such that we'll say that if you live there and somebody else lives there, then we need an eruv chatzeros. So do you actually live there? Maybe you have more than one place where you live over Shabbos. You may sleep in one place, you eat meals in another place. Are you considered a resident of any particular location? Also, if you fail to participate in an Eruv from all the houses on the Chatzer, then the Eruv is now void. But maybe you could argue, I'm not actually a resident of that Chatzer. So, for that, we need to know, where do you live? But we also need it as far as Tchum Shabbos. Right, we say that you can travel 2,000 amos from the place where you set up shop when Shabbos started. Well, where did you set up shop? Was it the place where you intended to eat? Was it the place where you intended to sleep? So it's a completely different set of halachos that will also depend on where I live. We also need it as far as identifying your bayit. Meaning the rule is that I'm not allowed to transport from my bayit, from my house, into a chatzer. Right? So the question is, but what is my bayit? The Chazanish is going to have this discussion and involve makom pito, the place where your food is, as part of this issue. So we seem to use the same set of criteria across all of these sets of cases to define where you live. In other words, the answer to the question of where I live as far as Erev Chatzeros is the same as the answer to the question of where I live as far as Erev Tchumen is the same as the answer to the question of where I live as far as what is considered my bayit, and therefore I can't transport from there into a chatzer and so forth. There is only one source that I saw that expressed some discomfort with this, and it's a source that becomes relevant in a few different areas. And that's a prima gadim. What happens is when you're discussing the Erev Chatzeros, we get the case of the shepherds, right? The issue of identifying the residence of shepherds who live out in the fields. They sleep out in the fields. However, they eat in the city, right? So the Magen Avraham made a comment, which I brought you on the source sheet at the top of the sheet. Magen Avraham writes, Mashma de Gemara, Deroam Halanin Besada, Alpha Pisha Ochlin Be'ir Ein Osrin. The rule is that shepherds who sleep out in the fields and eat in the city will not be considered residents of the city, the place where they ate in the city. They will not prohibit transport within that chatzer. Why? Danan Sahadi, Ilu Mankilu, Rifta Hasam, Lachol, Havi Nechalu. Because everybody knows, we know, that they will be a lot happier if they could eat out in the fields. They really consider their residence to be the fields. The problem is no one brings them food when they're out there in the fields. And therefore, I say fields, like shepherds are in fields. Hopefully they're not in fields, they're in pastures. That was the lowest problem. But you get the idea. The point is that they will consider themselves to be residents of the green grasses on the hills. That's where they live. They're only coming into the city to eat because they don't have a choice. But that's not where they live. So the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Gemara and says, "Tzarech iyun." Why does it tzarech iyun? What's your difficulty? What do you mean tzarech iyun? So what? That actually seemed fairly clear cut. It was clear cut in the Gemara. It's a straightforward halacha. And then he says, "Ayin simin taftes is ayin." He says, "Go look at simin taftes. Simin taftes is by Eruv Tchumen." When we're dealing with the question of how you identify the place where you are staying for Shabbos in terms of identifying your Makom Shvisa. What does that have to do with anything? So the Prima Gadim on that is in source base. Mashakasav Harom, etc. Ayin Simin Taftes, Magen Avraham Yudalid, where he wrote, V'hu Adin Talmidim Sha'ochem Beis Balabais V'lanim Beis Rabam. The Magen Avraham writes in Simin Taftes that the same rule that applies for shepherds, that we go with where you're sleeping, if that's really your Makom and not where you're eating. He says the same thing is true regarding students who live in the yeshiva, Lanim Beis Rabam, but they eat, they're given their meals in homes within the city. All right, the balabat, wherever the balabat are, that's where they're eating. So yesh lomer ikar makom lina. You could say also they would rather stay in yeshiva the whole time. However, they don't have food, so therefore they will go eat somewhere else. But their place is really within the yeshiva. That's the Magen Avraham in Taftes, much like the shepherds. Ubagmar Erevin, and here's the key, the part that I bolded in base. In the Gemara Erev Nayin Gimel, Le'inyan Tchumin Misnia. This halacha, that we go by the place where you live, because we know you don't really want to be in the place where you eat, that halacha is stated regarding Tchum. And that's why the Magen Avram said, I'm not really sure whether this applies to Erev Chatzeros. Because maybe not. Maybe Erev Chatzeros, you really go with the bread. That's the only place I've seen anybody express discomfort with the fact that we're just borrowing the principles across different Erev-related lines because they happen to appear in Maseches Erevin. But everybody else seems very comfortable with the idea from what I saw. And if you saw anybody who expressed any discomfort,
just this, and maybe some echar.
Okay. I don't know that don't count. So that's the that's the only one. But generally speaking, we want to use the same criteria. So what is this issue of identifying your location based on the place where you eat or the place where you sleep? It all starts with the Gemara in Erevin, Ayin Beis, Amud Beis, Tayin Gimel, Amud Aleph. And I'm going to go through it, but intersperse some pieces along the way. So we're at Source Gimel, Mishnah. You have brothers who eat at their father's table, but they go home to sleep. So they need their own independent Erev. In other words, we care about the fact that they sleep in individual homes. So if one of them doesn't do an Erev, so he is going to have to say, I am not here, so to speak, I am batel, in order that they should all be able to carry, to transport from one place to the other. When is that true? It's only an issue if they are actually going to merge with another area. That's when we say that they are a problem. But if the Erev is going to be with them, could be understood as in the father's house, it could even be understood in one of their houses, that's its own discussion. If all you have is this family, the parents and the kids, then there will be no need for a separate Erev. So the basic rule in the Mishnah is, the brothers who eat at the father's table but sleep in their homes need their own Erev, unless the Erev is in their father's house, or there are no other people around, in that case we consider them one big family and they're all merged. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, it sounds like you're telling me that we care about the fact that they sleep separately. In other words, your location is defined as the place where you sleep, right? That's the Gemara, still in Gimel. Gemara, Shema Mina Makom Lina Gorim. Does that mean that the place where you sleep is what identifies where you live? Amar Yehuda Marav b'mekabli pras shanu. So Yehuda says, quoting Rav, no, this is actually not the case you thought it was. This is talking about people who receive pras. Granted, you're not supposed to do almanas lekabel pras, nonetheless. So what is mekabli pras? People who receive a pras. So Rashi and almost everybody else takes pras to mean people who receive food that they will take home to eat. Not only food, but also money. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But the idea is, they're not eating in the father's house either. That's why it was presented at first, Ochlan al Shulchan Aviyim. But Ochlan al Shulchan doesn't necessarily mean you physically eat at the table. It could mean that you get food from his table, and then you go home and eat it. And that's what's actually going on here, according to Rashi and so on. In other words, if they were eating all at the same table, that would be the place. Because they're not eating at the table, they're eating elsewhere. Wherever they eat is their place, and therefore, makom pita garim, right? That's clear? Rambam seems to have a different way to read pras, according to the Magen Mishnah. I brought you the Magen Mishnah in Dalet. Upirish Rabbeinu mekabli pras, Rabbeinu, the Rambam, explained mekabli pras to mean she'ein ochlen bahasmada etzel avihem, that they don't eat regularly with their father. Elif, I mean, sometimes they eat there. Kamo she'yisod adam nachri etzel chaberu shavu achodesh. Like some guy, he is naturally a nachri. I mean, he can't be a stranger and then eat with somebody for a week or a month, I think. They have very different definitions of hospitality than we do. You happen to be there for a week, you're there for a month. The guy who's not related, so he just happens to be there, you know, some random week or month or whatever it is. I would almost like to read it as saying once a week or once in a month, but it's not what he says. It's not what his words say. But either way, the point is that mekabli pras means they don't always eat with their father. And therefore, the reason why we establish their residence as the place where they sleep is because they're regularly where they sleep, and they're occasionally eating at the Father. But if they would eat there regularly, it would be a different story. That's the Magid Mishnah's rendering of the Rambam. It's going to matter later on when we talk about the question of whether, when we say the place where you eat is your location, does that mean if I'm eating there that Shabbos? Or what if I, you know, eat there normally, but not on Shabbos, or what about not this Shabbos, and so forth. So that question of how you define Makabli Pras will become significant again over there. I noted already, the Prima Gadim does say, and I brought it for you in Hay, that the Beis Yosef says, Pras Afilu Lechem, even bread. So he says, Ayin Magen Avram, Hainu Delo Tema Davka Ma'os, meaning I might have thought it's only where they receive money from the Father. That's what I might have thought. Ela af nosin lechem bishalov ochlem bevateim. It's not true. Even if the Father gives them bread, so you'll say, well, that's the place of my bread, is the Father's house. That's where the bread came from. Nonetheless, if you're eating at home, then that's your makom. Delo tema makom pita ikar vakom bishalav. Don't say the place where the bread came from, where it was located. That's your place. No, Kamash Malan came into Ochlin Bachadram, Osrinim Yesh Obene Chatzav Erevin Ba'atzlam, etc. So the point is, you establish your location based on where you eat, and if you're taking your food from somebody else and going to eat on your own, it's actually the place where you are going to eat. Now, he said something twice here, which I didn't really explain. I don't know if it's confusing anybody. It sure confused me until the Aruch HaShulchan came and told me, don't worry. But what's this business of having other residents? Why does that change things? In other words, you're telling me that if I and all of my siblings live in houses around the chatzer, right? And we go to our father's house and we take food from him back to our own houses, but we are the only ones on the chatzer, in that case, it's all one big family, don't worry about it. Even though your residence is in all these different houses, no Eruv Chatzer is required. However, if there's one person living in a house on this Chatzer who is not part of the family, I know Toronto definitions of family matter for this purpose. But if he's not one of the family,
big Eruv Chatzer.
Yes. So in that case, we suddenly all have to contribute. Why does somebody else intervening change the calculation? I had a very hard time with this. The Aruch HaShulchan offers an explanation in Vav. V'imheima mekablim pras mi beis aviyem. V'hainu shenosei lahem lechem omos liknos lechem ba'ochlin bebateim. The Father is giving them bread or money in order for them to purchase food and eat in their homes. Einam lo ke'echad v'lo kinifradim. They are not viewed as one, but they are not viewed as separate either. In other words, we have three models, essentially, for how I view residents. There's the model of we're all in the same house. That's when we're one unit. There is the model of we all eat in different places, and that's all separate. These guys are in between. That's his problem. And in the part that I skipped on the Makaros, he spells it out, but you can already see what he's saying. They're really not, because yes, they're all part of one family with one identity, but on the other hand, they all eat in different places. But if they're going to bring the Erev to a house elsewhere, then each one has to participate. If they're making air with another yard, hadin kain, the same rule is going to apply. The time of shaldaver, the reason is the mikavel pras yesh panim lomar shu ochel mishal hanosei la ubatel elav. You could look at him and say, well, I'm eating from somebody else, and therefore I'm batel to him, especially because they're family. V'yesh panim lomar the kevin shochel b'fnei atzmo havakrushes b'fnei atzmo. But you could also argue that he's like his own thing. So therefore, as long as we say, well, it's just the family, we're willing to balance towards saying no Erev needed. We're all one unit. But once you disturb the equilibrium by throwing in somebody else, or you start to merge with another chatzer, you've shattered it. And at this point, they have to actually view themselves as independent because they eat in their own homes. Clear? That's the Aruch HaShulchan's way of framing it. Okay. So what we've said in the Gemara is that the reason why the Mishnah says go with where you sleep is because it's talking about people who actually take the food home to eat, or they eat by the father occasionally, if you take the Rambam's view. And we're talking about food as well as money. Going back now up to Source Gimel, we have to continue in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Let's say there is a chatzer with a bunch of houses, and I am not a resident of the chatzer. However, I have some kind of a non-house that opens into that chatzer. A beit shar, I have a gatehouse, achsadra, some pavilion, merpeset, a porch, some place that is meant not for living in, but for traffic instead. So the rule is, it doesn't do anything to their chatzer because I don't live there. Eino osur olav. Beis hateven, however, if it's a place for storing straw, beis habakar, cattle, beis haitzim, wood, beis haotzaros, a storehouse, hareza osur olav. At that point, it will prohibit because that's a residence. Rabbi Yehuda omer, eino osur ela makom dira bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says no, only a place of living. And Amr of Yehuda, Maisa ben Nafcha, Shailo Chamesh Chatzeros Be'usha, this fellow ben Nafcha had five such yards in Usha, where he had different Mekomos Gira, Uba Maisa of Nechachamim, Vamru Eino Osa, I'm sorry, not, he did not have a dira necessarily, Uba Maisa of Nechachamim, Vamru Eino Osa, Ela Beis Dira Bilvad. And the Chacham said, no, not true, it's only if it's a Beis Dira. End of quote. To which they ask, Beis Dira Sakadaitach. When you say this, you mean literally Beis Dira Elema Makom Dira. No, we mean Makom Dira. What's a Makom Dira? Here's the key. Rav Amar Makom Pita. Rav said it's the place where your food is. Literally your bread. Ushmuel Amar Makom Lina. And Shmuel says, no, it's not the place where your food is. It's actually the place where you sleep. Parenthetical question. According to Rav, why did the Mishnah bother to talk about where they sleep? Right? The Mishnah talked about Yishenim Bevateim. Who cares if Yishenim Bevateim? It's about where your food is. It's Makom Pito. So says Yom Tov on the Mishnah, explains that it's because we assume they eat the pras in the place where they are sleeping. Right? These are Makabali pras, so we assume it's where they're sleeping. That's the idea. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, we now get a challenge. Meisve. This is a challenge that they added in brackets. It's a challenge against Rav. Haroim v'hakayatzin v'havurganin v'shomrei peros. Shepherds, harvesters, guards. Bizman shedarkon lolin be'ir, harein ka'anshe ha'ir. If they normally sleep in the city, they're considered like members of the city. Bizman shedarkon lolin besade. If they normally sleep in the field, yeshom ha'payim l'chol ruach. Then they get 2,000 in every direction. This is the case that we were referring to before from the Magen Avraham and the Prima Gadim, that is Eruv Tchumen, as a discussion, being mixed in with Erev Chazeros as a discussion about whether you go by where you sleep or whether you eat. This is Ya'apayim L'chol Ruach, has nothing to do with Erev Chazeros. This is the Erev Tchumen discussion. Who threw that in here? So but the challenge that we bring is, Rob, you told me it's where I eat that matters. This says where I sleep. To which the answer is, we already know, because we quoted this before, Hasam Anan Sahadi, Di Imam Tilhu Rifta Hasam Tfeine Chalu. They would be very happy if people would bring, you know, food for them out to the pastures. They just are out of luck. But it's not their residence. Their residence is, in fact, the place where they sleep. That's special for them. Now, just to expand on this before we go a little further within the Gemara and get Rabbi Yosef, this is brought as halacha in the Avodas HaKodesh of the Rashba, which I brought you in Zion. The Rashba writes, Haroim v'kayatzim v'shomrei peros bizman shedarkon lolin be'ir af pi she'ochlin basada harei ka'anshei ha'ir she'ein keva shelahen ela be'ir v'daitan lios ka'anshei ha'ir. He says, if you have these shepherds and harvesters and guards, so if they normally sleep in the city, then I don't care that they eat at work out in the field, they consider themselves to be part of the city. Ubizman shedarkon lolin besada, if they normally sleep out in the field, then afish nechnasim ochlin be'ir, even though they go into the city to eat, nonetheless, their eruv tchumen is what he's talking about here. You will measure for them from the field, and they get the 2,000 amos. Why? Because, as we already noted, because no one else is bringing them food, they'd rather be able to eat out there, so they consider themselves out there. And then in Lamed Gimel, he applies it to a base medrash. to the yeshiva, like we saw in the Magen Avraham. Like Magen Avraham saw it in the Rashba. Kayotze Badavar, similarly, Chaverim Sheyoshim Beis HaMedrash, people who sit, meaning dwell, in the Beis Medrash, V'amakom Tsar Lahem, and it's very jammed, V'yotzin V'yoshvin V'ochlin V'machlin Bali Batim Basado V'gan V'lanim Beis HaMedrash. They sleep in the Beis Medrash building, hopefully. And they eat with the Balabatim out in the field, in the garden, whatever it is, just because there's no room for them to be able to eat in the Beis Medrash. Their tchum is based on where they sleep in the Beis Medrash, not where they eat, because they would rather eat in the Beis Medrash. It's just not an option for them. So the Avodas HaKodesh brings this in this principle of worrying about or thinking about what's convenient for them and where they really want to be. It is, as we noted, quoted in the Magen Avraham and that Pri Megadon that we saw, the Bir Halacha in Shin Ayin, Hey, in Vyashin also deals with it. The Bar Yashulchan, we're going to get to in a bit, notes that some people disagree with this whole principle. Yeah, it's the one, not Rav Chaim Kahn.
Who? The,
yes.
But not Bar Yashulchan, Das.
Yes, no. The Bar Yashulchan on the Ketzos HaShulchan is going to say that some think this actually isn't about convenience. Rather, it's because the shepherds don't own the common space that their food is in. It may be a whole other discussion, so we'll have to get to that. So, question then. What is the default? Looking at this shepherd discussion, and assuming, as everybody does, really, other than this Bar Yashulchan, that it's about convenience. What's the default for a person who sleeps in one place and eats in another, where I don't know anything about convenience for them? I don't know why they do it, but this is what they do. So, how should we look at this? For example, you have a dorm. And in the dorm, you have all the rooms where the people are living, and then there's a cafeteria. And they go down to the cafeteria to have their meals on Shabbos. Now, is that because they're not allowed to have things that are going to heat up food in their rooms, and therefore to get hot food they need to go down to the cafeteria? But they'd rather be in their rooms, and therefore the room is their makom? Or do I say no, makom pito? It's downstairs. Am I going to have to poll each of them to find out what their preference is and use that to determine what their location is? What is the default? And the answer you'll be shocked to find out is a machlokas. The Gaon Yaakov, which I brought you here on the sheets in Ches, believes that if the guy has a known preference, that's the one. Where it's unclear, that's where Rav says, go with the food place. You don't know, go with where he eats. The Gaon Yaakov says, Lo sof davar makom gorim pitan o makom linasan. Sorry. Lo sof davar gorim makom pitan o makom linasan. He says, the real factor is not where their bread is or where they sleep. Ela hecha diad inan de nechale de lavi makom pitan o makom linasan. We really only go with where we know they want to be. That's really the factor. Rav and Shmuel have their machlokas specifically, where I don't know anything else, so my default assumption is it's where you're eating. That's the Gaon Yaakov's position. I think it's a very rational position. The Grouse Sefer in the fifth parak in Ha'ara Mem Aleph quotes the Piske Maharam Bar Baruch, which I did not go dig up. I think you had found it.
So it's the Gilyon in it, which I can't tell. It's in the footnote of the Biskay of Meir Baruch. He quotes a Gilyo,
yeah,
that says this.
That says this, which you can just read in the Grouse book.
That's a direct quote.
Yes. Yeah. Which is that we assume it's really Lina. We assume it's the place where you are sleeping. Rav is only saying that where we know with certainty that you prefer to be where your bread is, then we use that one.
Completely
against what the Gemara is saying. Yes.
Switch week to week. If one week you feel.
So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that question. That's a key question we have to address.
Well, it's very hard to tell who wrote that Gilead. I can't tell whether it's. I can't tell if it's the.
Could it be Rabbi Grouse?
So I can't tell whether it's meant to be the Marmi Rutenberg, and the Gilead means it was found in the margin of the manuscript, or it's the. Right? Or it was someone else wrote an editorial comment. In the manuscript, which they right. Because it's an idea.
And the Gaon Yaakov is so
clearly, right?
Clearly in line with the Gemara that the answer is it's where you want to be. Otherwise, why are we giving the shepherd license to say, well, this is actually where I prefer to be, even though I eat over there. Why would climb at the basement?
If we mean not Makopita.
Yeah, it seems fairly clear that if the guy has a preference for a particular location, that's it. If it's unclear, the default is Makompita, the place where your food is. So that's what Rav is trying to tell us, is how we determine where you live in terms of things like Eruv Chatzeros, Eruv Trumen. Okay, back to the Gemara in Gimel. The last bullet point that I have there. Amar Rav Yosef. Lo Shmi Eliash Maisa. Rav Yosef says, I didn't know this. I never learned this, and we know the whole discussion. Rashi, in various places, points out that Rabbi Yosef suffers from something that causes him to forget that which he had known, and his Talmud Abaye reminds him. So Amale Abaye, Ad Amrit Ni Alon, you told us. Ha Amrit Ni Alon, and this is what you were talking about when you told it to us. We learned the Mishnah that said that where the brothers eat at their father's table, but sleep elsewhere, you need air for each one. And we ask you the question, Shmamina Makom Lina Gorin, does that mean it's where you sleep? And you told us, no, Amrim Rav, the Makabali Pras Shanu. That's talking about where they're Makabali Pras, they're going home to eat. Okay. We then continue in Tess, which is further along in the Gemara on Dafayin Gimel. Bamine Abaye Me Rabba. Abaye asks Rabba a question. Chamisha shegavu es eruvan. You have five people. I skipped a little bit here, just it's not relevant for this week. The issue of the various relationships. You have the father and the brothers, and you have the wife, and then you have the avadim, and so forth. So it's not anything we're touching this week, but you know, definitely worth learning Gemara. So go see it, and it also quotes a pasuk in Daniel, so you should definitely go see it. Nonetheless. Jumping to Abaye and Rabba. Abaye asks Rabba, Chamisha shegavu es eruvan. If you have five people who collected their eruv meals, right? They all contributed. Kishemalichin es eruvan lemakom acher, eruv echad lekulan, otzrichin eruv l'chol echad v'echad. If they are then going to merge with another yard, so do you just do one single contribution, one eruv for all of them, they're all a single resident, or do you need contributions from each one? So Amalei Erev Echad Lekulan, he said, you only need one. To which he asks, Abaye asks, V'ha'achin dechi gavu damu, uktani tzvichin Erev l'chol echad v'yachad. What about our discussion about the brothers? And we say that you need Erev for each of the brothers, but they're like all contributing to a single one. What's our case? Kigona di'ika di'urin bahadayu. This is where there are others who are dwelling there. Like we've talked about, Demigo Dahani Asri, Hani Nami Asri. Since these other residents prohibit for everybody unless they contribute, everyone is going to be obligated to contribute. Vahin Hachinami Mistabra, that makes sense. Dikatani, because we learned Emasib is Mansha Malikan Makum Akir, exactly what we learned about with the Makabli Pras. Shma mi na. Frankly, I'm not clear on how the Aruch HaShulchan's explanation about the Urin Acherin and Makabli Pras is going to explain this one about the Urin Acherin. The Aruch HaShulchan gave this explanation about Makabli Pras, saying that they're neither here nor there. And therefore, if other people get involved, then we're going to view them as individual residents. I don't see why that's relevant here for the discussion about Achim, which wasn't, I think, a Makabli Pras discussion. But I didn't see anybody who addressed it. In any case, Rav Sheshes gives us the end of this Gemara. Ba'amine Rav Chia Bar Avin Rav Sheshes. Rav Chia Bar Avin asks Rav Sheshes, B'nei Bei Rav Da'achli Nama B'baga. You have people from the yeshiva who eat their bread out in the field. Va'asu Baisi B'Bei Rav. And then they go sleep in the Rabbi's house. Ki Mashchinen Lehu T'chuma Mi'Bei Rav Mashchinen Lehu O'Mi'Baga Mashchinen Lehu. Where do you measure? Do you measure from the place where they're eating? Or do you measure from the place where they're sleeping? Amar Le Mashchinen Mi'Bei Rav. He said, from the Rabbi's house, which is the place where they sleep. So he asks, really? Is that true? The place where you sleep? In that case, no one can ever do an Erev Tchumen the way that it's normally done. The way we do an Erev Tchumen is, if I need to extend another 2,000 amos, I go outside the city, I leave my meal there Friday afternoon, and then I come home to sleep. Right? Do I need to see it when Shabbos starts? Not see it when Shabbos starts is its own discussion, but I go home to sleep. I don't sleep out there. How does that work? By going home to sleep, I now establish that I live at home, not where my meal is. So why does my meal give me another 2,000 amos from there? To which the answer is, Bahu anan sahadi u bahadu anan sahadi, right? Just like we said before, In both cases, we know what you really meant to do. Bahahu anan sahadi di mister le hasam nechale. Ubahada anan sahadi di maisi lehu rifta lebe rav nechalu tfe. The answer is that in the Eretz Chumen case, we know you would rather live out where your meal is. That's where you want to go. You want to go another 2,000 amos beyond that. The problem is that it's cold out there, or it's going to rain on you. So therefore, you have to come home. So that's why you sleep at home, but you'd rather be where you're eating. And in the case of the people who are eating in the fields, but sleeping in the house of the Rebbe, we know they'd rather be able to eat in the house of the Rebbe, but there's no food for them there. So therefore, they eat out in the fields. So that's the conclusion of Ayin Gimel. There's also the sugya on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph Tamid Beis, but I didn't bring it on here. It's just a rehash, basically, at this point of what we've already seen. Okay. One second. I just realized I should make here. Okay. In practice, we follow Rav. It's the place where you eat. So if all of them keep their food in one place, that's their Eruv. If they eat in that place, there's no need to make an Eruv. We're going to come back to that sentence in a minute. The Rambam rules this way in the Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Eruv, in Dalet, Perek Dalet, Halachos Aleph to Gimel. I brought you Dalet Aleph and Yud Aleph, but we're not quite ready for it yet. But the Rambam rules this way. It's found that way in the Shulchan Aruch, Harachayim Shanayin, Hey. And even for a non-Jew, for a non-Jew's residence as well, the Rashba in Gimel Reish Ayin. I don't think I brought it for you here. Oh, I did bring it. I'm sorry, I brought it in Yud. Akum Shaila Makom Pita B'Mavoy. If the non-Jew has bread in the Mavoy, Afapi She'eno Sham Oser. Even though he's not there right now, nonetheless, it will prohibit for everybody else. Mishum De'efshar Da'asi B'Yome. Because he could always come home. Now, we're going to talk more about that, God willing, further along. We're not going to get to it today. The question of the Akum who's not home for Shabbos, and how far away does he have to be before we can say he's not a member of your Chatzar, because that can create real problems. But we're not gonna hit that today. But it's the Rashba there, it's the Radvaz in Chelek Vav, Tshuva 2274, Beis Allah from Reish Ayin Dalet. And also you see the Betzel HaChachma in Chelek Hey Kufyad Aleph. Okay. Right, no, Kufyad Aleph is the Akum one. And then he moves on from that. He has other Erev Chatzeros Makom issues.
The one is called, what is it, Nahar Damesek or something?
Whatever it was. He has very interesting Acharonim that he's familiar with. It seems to me that that Rav's view of Makom Pito, Yisomayor David Eli, I think you probably heard the conversation that we were having about this at one point, because very agitated. It seems to me that Rav's view of Makom Pito, as it's applied where people keep their food together, could be understood in one of two ways. One way to look at it is, they are a single resident, and no Eruv is needed. Right? Meaning, it's not that this food is their Eruv, it's that you don't need an Eruv. The other way to look at it is, no, they are multiple residents, and the collected food that's in that place is their Eruv. Huge nafkaminas.
You're just saying it wasn't
nafkamina. Sorry,
it just wasn't put down the shame.
Yeah.
So then that's what I was asking earlier. That would be bidyev.
Right. So we have to ask ourselves. I mean, the intent issue. I'm not going to get to this week. I wanted to leave that for week two. But but that's one issue. Am I supposed to be making a bracha? Right? If we all have our food there, should we be making a bracha? That, you know, that's our meal.
Assuming you could do that with, well, yeah. I guess that's part of it.
Yeah. Then it's with intent. Of making a bracha is pretty clear intent.
It's just a normal Eruv at that point.
Right. But is that what's going on? Is it appropriate to make a bracha? If they're machben not to share their food, right? But it's in one space, will it count? Right, the chiluk question. They put all their stuff in separate kalim. What if one member of the group who has food all in the same house doesn't want Eruv? Right? If I believe that by having your food together you're all one resident, then I don't care that he doesn't want Eruv. He doesn't have to. He's a member of the same household as everybody else.
Not Shalom, Prusa.
I mean, all the different rules for Eruv, do they apply in this case? Or do I say no? The point isn't that it's an Eruv. It's not an Eruv. However, they're all one resident. So from the language of the Gemara that we saw in Ayin Beis Amud Beis and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the answer is very clearly number one. They are a single resident. The Gemara used the phrase, Ein Tzrichin La'arev. That means you don't need to make an eruv. It doesn't mean you have an eruv. Right? Talking about brothers who eat from their father's table, tamidim eat at the Rebbe's table. The Rishonim all say it. Regarding the tamidim, Tosas, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph Umodim says it. And indeed, the Kesef Mishnah notes that there's no need for an eruv, even in a case where they eat at multiple tables. Take a look at Yud Aleph. That's the Rambam in Hosea and Dalid Aleph. The Rambam writes, Anshei Chatzer Shayu Kulam Ochlen Al Shulchan Echad Tamid. You have people in the Chatzer who always eat at a particular table. Afal Pishakol Echad V'Echad Yeshlo Bayis B'fnei Atzmo Ein Tzvicha Eruv. Even if each one has his own house where he sleeps, no need for an eruv, because they are Anshei Bayis Echad. Right? That's the rule. We don't even need the rest of the Rambam. The point is, he said, people who eat on the same table always. So now look at the Kesef Mishnah in Yud Beis. V'nira de'al shulchan echa de'nakat rabbeinu lav davka. He says, it doesn't really have to be one table. Da'afilu ochon ha'shnei shulchanos. Even if it's multiple tables, nami me'achar de'makom pita de'kulu avi b'ayis echad chashivi ka'anshe b'ayis echad. They're considered part of one house, and there's no need for an eruv, even if they eat at multiple tables. And that means there's no single kli requirement. Right? Yeah. Why is there no single kli requirement? Because it's not an eruv. It's just, we are exempt.
The same way as an eruv seems.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, this isn't a great proof, because you could always argue it came out of one kli and then they ate at multiple tables. Maybe that's not such a great proof. But everybody says this. The problem with saying this is the Gemara on Memtes Amud Aleph. Right? The Gemara Memtes Amud Aleph is the one that says that you have to keep things in one kli, as Rabbi Zirin was talking about in his wrap-up from last week. The requirement is that all of us, if we decide we want to create an eruv, we have to put it all in one kli. Why? Our food is in the same house. That's our makom. We're now one resident. Who needs an eruv anymore? And what is that whole rule? Further, take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan that I brought you in Yud Gimel. The Aruch HaShulchan is dealing with the case of people who keep their food in a shared kitchen. He says, Nira Lafiani is the idea, it appears in my humble opinion, that if neighbors live in independent rooms, or bayis b'fnei atzmo, or independent houses, but only the room of cooking, shekorin, maybe something along the lines of kitchen, the achas hilakulam, you have a single place. I mean, I think so too. Yeah, I just don't know how he would have pronounced it in Lithuania. But he says only in the place where they cook do they have a common place. I think they don't need an eruv. Since all of their Shabbos food is in one oven. It's as though they all live there. Demakom pita garim, because the place of the food is what counts. Even though they ain't eating there, halo yecholim leachol sham, they could eat there. Of gomer kulam ochlin osa. He says, let's take a regular Erev Chatzeros case. Does everybody go eat where the Erev Chatzeros is? No, they take it home. Ela mishum deroi leachol. You could eat there. That's good enough. Vachinami kenu, and so too here. And then he concludes with the words that I put in bold. Ach yesh la'ar er bazeh mitam she'en b'chli echad. He says, but it's not all in one kli. This food that's sitting there in the kitchen. It's not all in one kli. How did you count that as your eruv? What do you mean, how do I count it as my eruv? We never required it all to be in one kli when we had people in one house. What are you talking about, Rabbi Aruch HaShulchan? So I think the answer is this. And the intent issue is going to have to be discussed later. But I think the answer is that where they eat together, not just your food is stored there, but where you eat together, no Erev is needed. You have one shared space. And that's what the Gemara is talking about in Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel that we read. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about in Aruch Haim Shinayin. That's one, where you're eating together, the verb. Where your food is together, the noun, but we're all separate parties and we're all going to leave and go eat off in our own houses, then the food functions as an eruv. That's what has the Aruch HaShulchan all upset. That's the case on Memtes, where we say it has to all be in one kli. That's the Aruch HaShulchan in Shinayin Vav. So if your food is together, but you're eating separately, then your food is an eruv. If you're eating together, no eruv required. That's the idea. He's somewhere.
Then wouldn't that turn him into contradicting himself? Or, I mean, he's already, because he says, Ein Tzarech Eruv, and then at the end, he has his complaint.
Right, so honestly, the Aruch HaShulchan has a problem. And it's a bigger problem, actually, going to the case that we're not going to get to this week, of the guys who are sitting around on Friday afternoon, and then they realize they didn't make an Erev.
They're eating.
They're eating, right. And then they decide, okay, so, you know, what are we going to do now? Make this food into our Erev. So it's tied into his perception of that case as well. So, yes, the Aruch HaShulchan is going to be an issue. Thank God for next week. This is a problem. Okay, so what we've established at this point is that we go with the place where you eat. In the event that you have the family members who all have their food in the same place, but they are now going to go eat elsewhere, we actually view them as nishtahin nishtaher, and therefore no Erev is needed if it's just them. However, if you have other parties involved, then they in fact are going to need to participate in an Erev, as we've discussed. We said the place where your food is not really the place that matters as much as the place where you want to stay. That's just, as the Gaon Yaakov said, the default is, I don't know anything different, so it's the place where your food is located. That's what actually matters. And we said that in the event that you all eat together, then no Erev is needed, because eating together shows that you are one. Clear? That's what we've accomplished in the last 45 minutes, 42 minutes. So what I want to do now is continue in terms of, number one, defining space in which the food is kept. What does that mean? What is this space? And then, what does it mean to eat there? Which is the question of which meal we're talking about. What if I eat there during the week, but I don't eat there on Shabbos? What if I eat there on Shabbos, but not this Shabbos? What if I eat Shalosh Shudas there? What if I'm eating there as a guest, but that's not really my place of eating? What if I'm away for Shabbos? All of those other questions. So we're not going to get to the latter category this week. That I'm going to have to hold for next week. But what I want to do, we have 10 minutes left, is talk about the space in which the food is kept itself. So, first of all, is it the room that you eat in, or is it the entire residence? Right? Practical application is this Chazon Ish, which I hinted at in the beginning. The question of a person who says, I have a house, and I eat in this room in the house, or this floor of the house, I would like to carry on Shabbos without an Eruv from this room or this floor to some other part of the house. Am I able to do so? Do I say, because I eat here in the house, it's part of the house, therefore the whole house is my makom? Or do I say, no, your makom is that room where you ate, and everything else is not your makom, and therefore you need an Eruv if you want to actually transport to other parts of
kula.
It.
You could carry from the other parts of it into the...
Correct. The kula would then be, since I'm allowed to carry chatzer to chatzer without an Eruv chatzeros, Eruv chatzeros is, as we spent enough weeks breaking our head on, only an issue from house to chatzer or chatzer to house. Therefore, if I only have the room that I'm eating in as my makom, then I could carry from other rooms into the yard and so forth. Correct.
We're talking about rooms in the same house, though.
Yes, rooms in the same house. Sorry?
That's the Shri'la Tshuva that he has about the...
Yes, exactly, the five residents. That's correct. That was Sadi Aleph Aleph. I'm looking now at Sadi Mem Aleph. So take a look at Sorsi Adalad. He writes, Odiyesh Lomar Dein Oser Elamakom Pita. You could say that it's only the place where the bread is that prohibits. Ulefizeh Im Yesh Kama Chadarim Bebayis. If there are various rooms in the house. V'cheder Echad Meyuchad L'Shulchano B'Shabbos. But there's one room that's designated as my dining room for Shabbos. Ein Chashiv Dirasa V'Lecheder Shuhu Ochel. Where do you live? The room in which you eat. Ushara Chadarim Hein Kibes HaTaven. The other rooms, they're like the Beis HaTaven, the place where you throw the straw. In other words, they're not your residence. That's the Chazon Ish's statement. However, he does note, I didn't bring it on here, but if you place the Erev in that other room, it becomes your Bayit. In other words, placing an Erev in a room will turn it into your Dira, even if it's not the place where you eat. That has to be clear cut. I mean, that's sort of ground level. You have to be able to say that. Others disagree and say that the whole house becomes his Dira. And this is seen among poskim who count the washroom as part of the Dira. And that was that Magen Avram that I sent you to in the Marmakomos. And you said, well, what is this? So the Shulchan Aruch, I didn't bring you the Magen Avram on here, but I brought you the line in the Shulchan Aruch. Beis HaKisei Shebein Shnei Batim Belo Irvu Yachad Rishus Shneim Sholedes Bova Asurim. He says, if there's a latrine between two houses, an outhouse, between two houses, and it's used by both, and they didn't do an Eruv,
together, each other, then therefore you have competing reshuyos going on within the latrine. That gets more complicated as the case is discussed in the Magen Avraham, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Sharetzio, Magen Avraham, the Beis Meir, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger, all on Shin Nun Hei, have discussions about the architecture of the latrine. But the point is, they're willing to count this outhouse as part of the Dira. He's not eating in the outhouse. Right? So clearly not everybody is on the same page as the Chazon Ish with this. Grouse has a suggestion in his second perek in Ha'ara Mem Aleph that in a multi-floor residence in which only one floor is for eating, maybe that floor is your Dira but nothing else is. I think he means this even according to the view that it's the whole Dira. In other words, he's going to limit whole Dira to the floor if there's one floor that's designated for it. But it really wasn't clear to me where he was getting this from or what he meant. He didn't quote anybody, he just said it. I wasn't clear on that. Last issue is an issue that we mentioned before. What if it's a public space rather than one for which you own access? Right? In other words, I keep my food in the Or Chaim dining room. Right? I decide I'm putting my food in the Or Chaim dining room and that's where I'm going to eat on Shabbos. Does that become my dira? So the Bnei HaShulchan says no. The Bnei HaShulchan on the Ketzas HaChoshen, on the Ketzas HaShulchan, this is the Grach Noah, we mentioned him earlier, writes in Tezayin, U'besever shnos chayim kasavnu lihistapek b'mishi yashim b'bayis echad v'ochal b'bayis tavshel klali. He says, we are not sure regarding somebody who sleeps in a house and he eats in, and this is the key, the first time I read this I didn't understand it, it's b'bayis tavshel klali, not b'bayis tavshil klali. He eats in a joint kitchen or joint dining room. Shena b'bayis shalo klal. It's not his house at all. Oh, she'elo makom kavua klal achilo. Or what about somebody who doesn't have a set place where he eats? De'eshad b'ofen kazeh she'elo b'bayis kavua le'achol sham. It could be argued that where he does not have a fixed house in which to eat, she'yev shalomar shadar b'makom shalochel, that you won't say that he lives in the place where he eats. A person who doesn't have a bayis kavua, so you can't say he lives there. Then maybe we should say it's where he sleeps. That's the statement of the Bnei HaShulchan. You don't own it. You don't establish dira there. And this takes us back to what I pointed out originally when we talked about the shepherds. Remember that we said the shepherds who eat in the town but stay out in the pastures. We said in the Gemara, we know they'd rather be eating out in the pastures, therefore, that's really their location. The Bnei HaShulchan takes a completely different approach. He says, the case of the shepherds, as well as the Prima Gadim, who talks about students who eat at Bali Bayit but sleep at the Rebbe, saying it's where they sleep, he says, I know that everybody says that it's about their convenience, but I don't think so. I think it's because they don't own the place where they eat. If you don't own the place where you eat, it is not your makom. And therefore, if it's a common space, that is not your makom. Grouse, in Perek Hey Ha'aram and Aleph, is completely perplexed by this. And I join him in being, up to his ankles in perplexity. Why in the world do you need to own the place? Who invented that idea? Don't we say that a person who eats with his parents makes his dira there? I have no idea where he came up with this.
Rabbi, I think he's imagining on the Israeli scene when he's writing the really, really socialist scene.
Yeah.
Right? Your house is where you sleep. That's the only thing you own. Right?
Okay.
And you eat together with everybody else.
But
right?
Who cares? Who cares about ownership?
Well, I think he's imagining that you have to have a house, right? And you will never in your whole life eat in your own house, right? In the old school.
Yeah.
Right? The old school kibbutzim.
Okay.
Right. But
assuming that's true, so.
Right, so I think he's just trying to eat, right? He's rattling with them saying, okay, fine, but you know, don't you live somewhere? I said, yes, in that case you do. Right.
That's an interesting idea. I had not thought about that as a possibility, but I'm not convinced. I don't know. So what I want to do next time is talk about the question of which meals exactly do you have to eat there in order for it to be your makom. What if it's just a Shabbos meal I'm eating there, stam, as a guest? What if my food is there, but I am away for Shabbos? I want to touch on the restaurant, camp, hotel, hospital, cases, as well as deal with the question of intent. the question whether intent is required. I think I might take you up on your offer, since you said that you have time this week. Maybe I'll leave the intent part of it for you. I'll still wrap up this part and do the hotel. And so,